The Coigig Pod on Off The Ball.
And then we had Eileen, who we kind of picked because we thought, you know, knows Irish football inside out, and then that'll do the job. And those kind of things aren't really what we need. We need a really, really good, strong coach.
Subscribe to The Coigig Pod on the Off The Ball app now.
Zeebo going on his own! He gets the try!
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try for Munster!
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78 Munster podcast from Munster fans. Busy show coming up today as we look back on an impressive Munster performance against the Dragons at the weekend before they go into their break. We're going to look ahead to the Six Nations as well. So a lot to discuss in this episode of the Red 78. Who better to discuss it with than Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. Guys, a pleasure as always to see you. How are you?
Good, Rory. Great win last weekend for Munster. That first half in particular was unbelievable. And now I suppose we're waiting to for the Six Nations to kick in anyway, and more rugby. So exciting times.
Have you got Six Nations fever, Gunny?
I'm getting there, yeah. It's it's always a great tournament, and yeah. It's always an exciting time of the year. A lot of lay rugby fans tune in, watch us, and it does create great excitement and intrigue, really, as how Ireland will get on. Small little bit flat in November, a few question marks about the attack, and opposition figuring Ireland out a little bit, but you know, hopefully it gets the blood flowing again for the next couple of weeks, because well, with England coming up for the first game, it's a great opener. So hopefully Ireland can do well, yes.
Yeah, I love the Six Nations. Can't wait for kickoff this weekend. It's going to be an absolutely cracking tournament. We'll discuss that a little bit later on from kind of a Munster lens, but we're going to look back on the win over the Dragons first off, though. Fiona, you've got a couple of comments that have reached us.
Yeah, so thanks again for sending in the comments. We'll start off with Keane McGibney. Huge result last Saturday with two home games in the Six Nations down weeks as well. Will Munster sustain the momentum over the next few weeks, do you think? Chef the Electric, what's the situation with Ollie Yeager? Yeah, this is an interesting one. It seems like this time last year he was on the fast track to being a regular part of Ireland's squad, and now he's not even in the top five on the depth chart. John said, looking forward to seeing more of Ben O'Connor with Munster. I remember him with the Oilers 20s last year, and he looked terrific. Was man of the match in the game against Italy. Had a good game at the weekend and looks like a terrific prospect. But yeah, on that Yeager one, Quinny, that is an interesting one, I think.
It's very simple here. Ollie Yeager got a HIA on Saturday night, so that's why he wasn't called out to Portugal. I think for the player and for everyone involved, they probably should have announced that, because I had a number of people ask me, and I saw some stuff online, why is Ollie Yeager called in? Jack Ainger got called in from Connacht to fly out to Portugal to be part of the squad. But that's what happened, basically. Ollie Yeager got a concussed on Saturday night in the match, and that's why he wasn't considered and wasn't fit and available to travel with the team.
Simple enough, so that answers that question.
Very simple.
And that's I've never seen your short answer, Quinny.
But that's no disrespect to Jack Ainger. You know, yeah. I think they contacted Munster and wanted Ollie Yeager to go out there, and he couldn't go, and it's a great opportunity for Jack Ainger. But you know, again, these things, that's how speculation starts, and he's down the pecking order and he's fifth or sixth choice now, and you know, Ollie Yeager's a very good player. I think he just needs a run of matches. He's had a few tough injuries since he's come to Munster, and we haven't seen a consistent run of 8 or 10 matches in a row from him. So that's unfortunate for him, because you know, I think he has great strength and power, and it's a pity for him, but a great opportunity for Jack Ainger.
Yeah, just looking online there, the last mention of Ollie Yeager on Twitter was that he was just subbed at halftime with John Ryan. There's been no mention that he's went for a HIA, so that obviously leads to confusion, I suppose, questions, I suppose, why he's not involved in the Irish training camp this week. But Fiona, let's look back on that game and that win over the Dragons. I mean, like, as you said, that first half in particular was Munster at their very best.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 5 tries in that first half. And it was a variety as well. It was Kilgannon, Kendallin, Ben O'Connor. I mean, that was just a beautiful try. It was brilliant to see the team lead up to that. And of course, Dion Bluler, who we certainly will miss now that he's gone. But look, I just thought what really impressed me was we were chatting before, you know, we were previewing the game, saying it could be a tricky one for Munster, how they approached the game, how they started it. Very, very clinical, exciting in their ability to go wide. There was offloads. I think Coombs, we'd always talk about him being a direct carrier. He had a superb game, but he had four offloads in the game. So you could see this Munster pack in particular were trying to keep the ball alive. They were really going after Dragons, and certainly one of the better, and I think Ian Costello came out and said it as well, it's the best 40 minutes he's seen this season in particular of Munster playing. And we spoke about those errors last week in that first half. Yes, the second half wasn't as pretty. That can happen sometimes, but certainly that first half, a lot of errors cut back. The line out, the scrum, it was clinical in everything they were doing. They were able to go at the back as well, which gave them some chances for launch plays. So from the back of the week before, certainly a much improved performance with the injuries as well. It's good to see these young guys getting some game time, and the back row in particular, Kendall and Coombs had it. I mean, wow. Just when they play together, I think these younger guys, maybe you can't call them younger guys anymore, but certainly these guys, when they're in form, you can see exactly what they can do and get over the game line.
Yeah, I mean, like when he was like second half, obviously it dropped off a little bit. You're 31-0 up at halftime. That's going to happen. It is an excellent performance, but I suppose it has to be tempered by the caveat that I suppose that this Dragons team weren't up to much at all.
Yeah, they were poor, I think, and Filo Tiatia, the coach who took over from the last coach who stepped aside or was pushed aside. They've been struggling. I played against Filo Tiatia against the Ospreys many times, and he looked dejected in that first half when the camera panned onto him a number of times. And Munster were very good, and they were very poor. I think they were falling off tackles. They were quite compressed in their defensive line, and Munster got out onto the edges loads of times. And look, it was I agree with Ian Costello in a sense that that was the best attacking kind of cohesive passes sticking type scenario and performance that we've seen in a long time. But you've got to take it into consideration that the Osprey or the Dragons were very poor. I think there's I it can do the world of good for the confidence for those players. And they you know, you look at some of the stats, and I always look at the stats because they're sometimes it can be deceptive, but Munster had 456 post contact meters, and it's something in the game that I don't want to over elaborate on, but it's just about winning collisions, getting over the gain line, getting past defensive lines, and then you can play more. So for their confidence and that attack and some of the line breaks, they had 11 line breaks in the game. A lot of them came in the first half. And to be 31-0 up at half time was a very, very, very dominant performance. And as you know from last week, I was a bit nervous about this one in a sense that I just experienced Rodney Parade so many times in my own career, even going over to really strong Munster teams. It can be tricky. A couple of decisions go against you. The ref kind of gives the 50-50s to the home side. The crowd are on your back. They're playing Munster. It's a big scalp. All that stuff and all those things. And we saw 2.5 years ago, like in 2022, 23 season, that win that the Dragons had against Munster. And it's a pity to see. But from a Munster point of view, they started the game really well and dominant and got on the front foot and had some big performances right across the board. The frustrating part, I think, for any coach and in any sport, if you're dominant like that, there's a kind of inevitability about the opposition will come back into it. The referee will start turning a little bit and give some of those 50-50s to the opposition. You ease off a little bit, you get a bit sloppy, and all those things started to happen in the second half, which was a pity because if you're looking at stuff that Munster team could learn from the weekend, it's just trying to get that ruthless edge. And of course, it's nitpicking, and I'm not I'm just thinking the coaches will probably feed this back in a sense that how do you keep that same level high? And how do you kind of control the inevitable surge that's going to come out at half time from the opposition when you're that far in front? Because, you know, there's probably harsh words in the Dragons dressing room at half time about their performance. And that's probably the thing. Munster got a bit sloppy. They had 19 turnovers lost in the game, which is, you've got to look at this stuff, and you know that as a coach, Fiona. For bigger tests ahead, how do we, you know, really keep our concentration and our accuracy at a high level? So 19 turnovers lost is a lot. The post contact meters are really good. The scrum, the lineup were really good, which is a vast improvement the last few weeks. And in turn, they can play a little bit more. Now, again, you're winning some of it at the front of the lineup, which is not ideal, but better win it than not win it. In the sense that the lineout stats have been low in some games. That Munster have struggled this year. So they were 95% in the lineup, which is really a good stat. And lots of passes, lots of possession, carries, all that kind of stuff was really good. And you could see the energy from the players. So it was a real feel-good performance for the first half. And probably a little bit, it's a pity we didn't kick on and keep it high, the level high in the second half. But look, that's credit to Dragons as well for coming back into it. And it does happen in all sports that when you're being well beaten by at half time, you do come out and the fight is higher and the desperation is higher. And that happened in the second half. But ultimately, at the end of the day, 5 points here was a big results. And we spoke about the run of games, the Scarlets home next and Edinburgh. They're just must win games at this stage, and they've pushed themselves up the table into seventh, only 4 points off third place Bulls. So it's quite compressed, and it makes the league really competitive. And you know, there's 8 games left, and there's so many valuable points there for any team that's down from third or fourth, we say, right down to 11th, 12th. So many teams can still make their playoffs. But, you know, for Munster, it's about getting results now. And they have a break for a couple of weeks, which in some ways is you'd love to see them get a run of matches here and build on the back of that. But the important part for them now is the training to do in between, the conditioning and stuff like that. And probably, you know, you're off anyway, so it's about freshening up now and really kind of being ready for that Scarlets game, who've been playing really well and vastly improved from last season.
Yeah, and just on that is, sorry, Rory, just on that as well, Quinny, I suppose an area that kind of was annoying me as well was when they went to the back, you know, to throw everything and they mauled from the back. I think they got held up twice on that. So they were it's an area they'll certainly look at, because we know how lethal the maul is. But when they seem to like hit the back, it's very loose in the formation. So certainly I think against the Scarlets, I'd love to see that maul tightening up, because we haven't seen enough. We know this Munster team, and getting over, you know, the try line for those maul tries is something in the DNA. But certainly I thought in that game there was opportunities really to go after the juggler in that area, but because it was the back, it was struggling.
Yeah, I think when you say how lethal the maul can be, I think I hope you mean, well, I think you know what you mean, that in general in rugby, how much of a strong weapon it can be for teams. Munster's maul hasn't been good for a while, and I think that is one, again, from Saturday night that would be very frustrating. You said two. I thought it was three or four that they had opportunities when they kicked to the corner, and even a couple out the field that they tried to maul. The Dragons held them up. They held them up twice anyway, and then another two were really, really sloppy in their delivery. So Dermot Byrne is at the back of them all. He's got to pull back a little bit and understand when it's creaking a little bit, twisting and turning. You've just got to get it away, because, that was poor from them, and they've got to look at that as a forward unit and try and be much, much stronger as blockers, protect the guy at the back and not allow opposition to get in and hold them up like that. Because if you think if that's a tight game, You know, one try, one score, and they're going to have a lot of tight games between now and the end of the season, and really crucial moments in a game like that when you kick into the corner, you're 5 meters out, and you get held up. It's a big win for the opposition, so it's certainly an area that needs to get
Brilliant.
improve and get better.
And as Quinny was mentioning, Fiona, the schedule's kind of been all over the place for the next while. I think it's four games over the next 2 months. They have a game now, 2 weeks, break for 2 weeks, game. As a coach, Fiona, how do you keep your players motivated and focused, I suppose, in the task at hand?
Yeah, and look, I personally think it's really frustrating when that happens. I have kind of something similar in my own team with players going away and a big bunch of them, and then they return and just things are off, cohesion is off. I suppose the main thing with this Munster team is, like Quinny said, you've got to get them out. You obviously have to get them, keep them fit, keep that up. But I on the other side of things, Rory, it's a chance for those things to work on those things. Like we said, them all, they've there's not very much many Munster players up at Irish camp, so there is a core of them there. It's a perfect time to go out on the training ground, nail the detail around those little things, because obviously in pre-season and leading into that, a lot of time is spent on fitness and getting you up to match fitness. So I think it is certainly a chance to review, especially after the last couple of games, to be able to review and tighten up things with that core bunch of guys that are there. So it's a hindrance on one side, because there's obviously the cohesion goes out the window. You know, that game fitness, sometimes it's hard to get you back up to that, and you don't start games how you'd like to when they're spread out of a long distance. But certainly it's really good chance for this Munster squad. And Rory, the biggest thing is that we might be seeing, well, you might be seeing less than 25 injuries by the time those end games come around, because there's a bit of a gap there. So you'd be hoping to get these guys back involved, maybe a Dogbo, a couple of other fellas. So it's good in that sense, but also on the other side, you've got to keep these guys in that mentality, you know, focus on what's to come. But sure, they're professional rugby players, they'll be well able to do that. And certainly compact, and we look at the guys that have played the last few games. It's similar packs, it's similar guys. So it's a chance to rest the body, and hopefully they'll be out. Scarlet's, that game is going to be quite tough, but certainly a lot of things will be reviewed online. It'll give you a chance to go videos.
I think that's a good point Fiona makes. I suppose we as Munster fans want as many Munster players involved with the Ireland squad, but I think is it just five Munster players are with Ireland this week? So there is that bit of continuity there. I mean, like the guts of your team aren't necessarily being ripped out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's they don't play for the another couple of weeks. It's 2 weeks, and then there's they play the Scarlets in on the 15th, and then they play Edinburgh 13 days later, and then it's the guts of 3 weeks before they play Glasgow. So yeah, if you use that time wisely, as you said, try and get enough of players in the field and work on line up more, that cohesion and attack. Getting some players back might be very helpful. I think at this stage, there's a number of frontliners that are missing, and yeah, so they don't have the bulk of high number of internationals away. I would hope, and I've said this, that you know, if the likes of Calvin Nash doesn't, you see, if he's not involved in matches, that he may be released back for the Scarlets. No, he'd rather be involved and playing for and involved. But I think for the first two games, England and Scotland, I'm not sure he will be in 23. I don't think he will be. Will he be released back to play a game? Who knows? Because you know, we saw what happened in November. But yeah, it is a chance for him to work on things and make sure that you know they're kind of hitting the ground running for these matches. And this block of games are really important, that they get points and build up points and get a bit of comfort, because I'm not saying the Scarlets or Edinburgh are easy, but they'll be very difficult matches. But you think at home, and with a lot of the Welsh internationals away and a lot of the Scottish internationals away with Edinburgh, well, a good number anyway. If you can get maximum points from both those games, it gives you a little bit of wriggle room, even though they can't afford to lose many more games. essentially you're trying to get into playoffs, but with a view to getting a home quarter final, being that top four, it'd be the goal to get to that point. But yeah, it's a chance for them to work on stuff for the next few weeks.
And that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we look ahead to the Six Nations, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot,